Begin the current daf Masechta Sukkah, daf Chav Ches. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing Reb Eliezer and the fact that he never said over anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbeim. So the Gemara continues and says, Tarban, learn the Braisa. Maisa Reb Eliezer, and again, like we had in the previous Braisa and the previous daf, Shoshavas Begalil Ha'elyon, that again he spent the Shabbos in the Upper Galilee. B'sha'aluhu Shleishim Halachas B'Hilcha Sukkah, and they asked him 30 questions, 30 halachas, in the halachas of Sukkah. And Shteim Esrei Amalehem Shemati, regarding 12 of the questions, he says, I heard the halacha. Shmeina Esrei Amalehem Lo Shemati, regarding 18 of the questions, he said, I didn't hear. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Omer, he says, Chilav HaDvarim, it was the other way around. He says, Shmeina Esrei Amalehem Shemati, regarding 18 of them, he says, I've heard this from my teachers, and I'll tell you the answer. Shteim Esrei Amalehem Lo Shemati, regarding 12 of them, he says, I didn't hear this. So Amaloi, they said to him, whatever you say over, you only say over what you heard from your teachers. You're a big Talmud Chacham. You can't say anything from your own. Why is it everything you're only going to respond to us, what you heard? So Amlehem, so he said to them, says, the irony is, his kaktuni loimer davash leishamata mepir abaisai. Now, so that I should respond to you, you're really forcing me to say something now that I never ever heard from my teachers, which I have to tell you now, the way that I function, the principles that I work by, and this is going to be one of them, and he wanted to inform them that it's not because of his laxity in his learning and his understanding. And that's not why he's not responding to them, but rather because of a certain principle he has that he doesn't say over things that he never learned before. Because he said, "Miyamai l'kadmani adam mebeis hamedrash." You should know that it's not because I don't know enough Torah. There was no one ever before me in the Beis Hamedrash, in the house of study. I don't think when I was there I was taking it easy. I never slept in the Beis Medrash. Lishin is kivav, lishin is aroy, not a permanent sleep, not even a little nap. And I never left anyone in the Beis Medrash, and that I left. In other words, I was always the last one out. And I never spoke words of frivolity. So in other words, don't think what I'm not sure about is because that I didn't put in the effort. Because it's not possible that my teachers ever said anything in the Beis Medrash and I didn't hear it. So, however, but what I did not hear from them, that I don't say, because that's also one of my things, which is v'lo yamarti davar, I never said over anything shlei shemati mipi rabbi me'olam, that I didn't hear from my teachers ever. It goes on the Mesira, and therefore, I want you to understand that I'm saying over something that I never said before, but that you should understand this. It's not because of my not putting in the tircha and the amal into Torah. Rather, it's because I actually did, as you see from my other midas, but I just don't say over anything that I don't have a clear mesira from my teachers. Similarly, Amar Lavel Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, they said regarding Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer, says, Miyamav leisach sichas chulin. He never spoke speech that was not Kodesh, that didn't have to do with words of Torah. He didn't walk four Amis without Torah, in other words, without saying over words of Torah, that he was constantly saying over words of Torah as he was walking. He never went Dalad Amis without wearing Tefillin. There was nobody get to the Beis Medrash before him. He never slept in the Beis Medrash. Leishin is kavav, leishin is aray, no type of sleep, not a permanent sleep, not even a nap. He never thought words of Torah in an unclean place. He never left anyone in the Beis Medrash and he left. No one ever found him just sitting and being silent. Rather, he was always sitting and learning. And no one ever opened up the door for his students. Rather, only he himself, which Rabbeinu Chananel understands that to mean that obviously means he was the first one there, and therefore he was the only one there to open up the door for his students. And he also never said anything over that he didn't hear explicitly from his teachers. And he never said to anybody, it's time to get up from learning in the Beis Medrash. Chutz, there were two exceptions. Me'arve Pesachim, from the evening before Pesach, which so that they could make the Karban Pesach, and another reason was so that the children should not fall asleep by the Seder night, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Pesachim. The Erev Yom Kippurim and Erev Yom Kippur, where they have to eat, they have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so that they should be able to be fasting appropriately on Yom Kippur. So those two times are the only times that he said, let's go, you have to get up from learning, but no other time did he tell them. And that's how his student, Rabbi Eliezer, was also function just like his Rebbe, which again, one of them was that he never said over anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe, mi'olam, and that's why I said regarding those that I heard, I said shemati, and those I didn't, I said lo shemati, but again, not because I don't put in my due diligence for learning, it's just that that's my midah, is that I don't say over things I never heard from my Rebbe. Now the Gemara continues regarding the Rebbe of Rebbe Eliezer that we just mentioned, Rebbe Yechon ben Zakkai, talking about how great he was, so Tarabon learned the Braisa. Shmeinim talmidim hoyloi lehil hazak, and there were 80 students that were by Hill the Elder. There were 30 of them. They were fitting to have the divine presence rest on them like it was on Moshe Rabbeinu. There were 30 of them, of these students, that were fit to have the sun stop for them like it did for Yeshu ben Nun. And Esen ben Nun, and there were 20 that were in the middle. The greatest of them, of the students, was Yoinesen ben Uziel. And Katan Shabakulam, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, and the smallest of them was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Now, Amr Lava, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, they said regarding Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, again, who is the lowest of all the students, Shlehiniach Mikra, that he didn't leave any of these following things that he didn't fully understand them. One was Mikra, one was learning what was written in the scriptures in the Torah Shabiksav. U'Mishnah, which, for example, like Mishnais and the Brises of all the six Siddurim of Mishnais. Gemara is the logic, the understanding of the later Tanoim, which they were meticulous and precise in the words of the earlier Tanoim, which were a little vague, and they clarified it and gave reason to it, just like the Amiram did for the Tanoim that came after them. Then they explains the words like our Gemara does for the Mishnayos, which the Amiram explained the Tanoim, which that was what was called Gemara, that becomes the Shas. That was in the times of the Tanoim too, that they explained the earlier words of the earlier Tanoim. So then there's Halachas. He also didn't leave over Halachas, which are referenced to Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Those are the things that are passed down in tradition from Moshe Mesinai. For example, the Halacha of Gud, which is good is for extending upward or downward, which is Achas and Asik. Then the Halacha of Lavid, which when something is less than three Tfachim, we see it as closed. We have Deif and Akuma, which we see as if the wall extends. There's the measurements, and there's Chatzitzin, and there's Mechitzin, all different types, the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. The Haggadahs, and those are homiletic teachings. The Kduki Torah, the preciseness of the Torah, which means to say when there's some extra letters, why does the Torah have them there? It's to expound upon them, to include something or exclude. For example, as later on this Amid, the Gemara will tell us when it says Ha-Ezrach, why does this have the extra Hey to exclude women? And that is the Torah was precise in its words to add a word, to add letters, that's considered Dikduki Torah. The Dikduki Seferim, and then there's the preciseness of our Chachamim, of our sages, where they were precise regarding the human beings, regarding mankind and their nature, to be stringent on them and to make fences and to make different ways of maintaining the words of the Torah, and therefore they made certain gzeiros to distance a person from Avera, as we find in the Gemara Bukhairis, which mentions this idea of Diktuki Seifim. It says that a ger, a convert, who wants to accept upon himself the Torah, besides one thing, we don't accept him. And Rabbi Yossi says, even one little minutia, one little preciseness of Diktuki Seifrim, even that, if he doesn't want to accept that upon himself, that's not considered complete geris. That's also part of the Jewish law. Kalam v'chamurim, Yechon ben Zakkai also knew all the kavachaymers, which those are things that a person learns based on that logic, which is what's called like a kulchkin, where you can understand it on your own, which wasn't given over from Sinai, which it says that if the halacha by the more lenient thing is like that, the kal, then most definitely by the chaymer, it for sure will have that type of halacha. Ugzer Shavas, which those are things which are learned to Ugzer Shava, which is sent down from Moshe from Sinai, which is, has the same word over here and the same word over there, so we learn the similar halachas. Tekufais, that's the calculations of the travels of the sun and the moon. The gematriyos, and gematriyos has a few different connotations, but it basically means the different formulations of the letters of a word. For example, when you have sheshach in the pasuk in Yirmiyah, means bavel, which means in atbash you take the aleph is the you can switch with a tav, the second letter beis can switch with a shin, and so on. That's one understanding of gematriyos, and those according to the numerical value of the letters. For example, we know there's halacha that stam naziris, when someone takes a Naziris upon himself, to be a Nazir, and he doesn't say how long, that's going to be 30 days. How do we know that? So the Gemara Nazir explains, from the Pasuk Kaddish Yeh, he will be Kaddish, the numerical value of Yiyah is 30 because Yud is 10, Hey is 5, Yud is 10, Hey is 5, that's 30. And that's why we know that Kaddish will be for 30 days. Additionally, Rabbi Yechim Zaki knew Sichas Malachi Asharis, V'Sichas Shedim, V'Sichas Tekolim. He knew the speech of the ministering angels, those of the demons, and those of the trees. Mishleis Kovsin, Mishleis Shualim. He knew the parables of the launderers and the parables of the fox. And that is the earlier people, they came along and they gave a metaphor for their musr that they were giving. And they made it with mashalim, with launderers and with fox, and he knew that those mashalim. And he also knew davar gadol and davar katan. He knew the great thing and the small thing. Now, what does that mean? Davar gadol is a reference to ma'aseh merkava. That's the Kabbalistic understandings of the great mysteries and the mystical understandings of the divine chariot. And davar katan, a small thing, is havayis d'abayi v'rava. That's the questions that were asked throughout Shas that we always have, b'bayiluhu, that they asked, abayi and rava, that those were the same thoughts and doubts that Rabbi Yechon Mazake encountered, and he thought about them, and he gave an understanding for them. However, Bayev Rava later on generations asked the same questions because it was later on forgotten in the days of the Mayram, and then the Bayev Rava went through the same questions that Rabbi Yechon Mazake had already understood himself, which is considered this Davar Katan in contrast to the Maisim Merkava, which is called Davar Gadol. The Kai Meshenema, this is to fulfill the Pasuk of Mishlei. Rabbi Yechon Mazake knew all these great wisdoms, that it says, Lahantchil oyev ayesh, to inherit to those who are my beloved, there is. And the reason is, at least in the way that we're darshaning in the Gemara, how it's bringing it, Va'itzisim amali, and that their storehouses I will fill up, because since their storehouses are filled with Torah, that's why they have, there's what to give to these great tzaddikim. That is, so the Gemara comments, if the smallest of all these 80 students was so great, that he knew all these things, he knew Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Halachas, Agadas. He knew sciences. He knew all the different languages that were there. So then, Gadol Shebekul and Halachas Kama Vakama. So the greatest among the students. How much more so? How great he must have been, as the Gemara actually ends. Amru Lav Al Yehinis and Benazil. They said regarding Yehinis and Benazil, who was the greatest of the students. B'Shosha Yeshav Aisav Torah. At the time that he would sit and toil in the words of Torah, Kol Eiv Shepareich Lav Miyan Nisaf. Any bird that would fly overhead would immediately be burnt. And the reason is because the ministering angels would gather around him to hear the words of Torah coming out of his mouth, and those ministering angels are made out of fire, and therefore any bird that would fly overhead would immediately get burnt. Now the Gemara continues, again on the halachas of someone being mekayim as chiv, of sitting in the sukkah on sukkahs. So the Mishnah tells us, a machlekes, Misha yoresha v'ruba b'sukkah. If someone has his head and the majority of his body inside the sukkah, but for shulchan b'teich habayis, his table is in the house, so he has this sukkah that's right, opens up into his house, so, and he has his table in the house. B'shamei paislin, b'shamei makshirin, b'shamei said that's invalid, one does not fulfill his chiv that way, and b'shamei said it's kosher. So amalem b'shilu b'shamei, b'shilu said to b'shamei, what do you mean? Loi kacho yemaisa, wasn't this the following story? The elders of the house of Shammai and the elders of the house of Hillel went together to visit Rabbi Yechon ben Acharanes. And they met him, and he had his head and the majority of his body in the sukkah. And his table was in the house. They didn't say anything to him. So what do you mean? Even the elders of your own house of study agree that there's no problem. So Bishamai said to Beis Hillel, which is the house of study, those are the students of that school of thought of Shammai, they said, Misham Raya, would he bring a proof from that story? What do you mean? To the contrary, Afheim Amrulai. Actually, the elders of the house of Shammai told him, Im Keno Yisenoig, if this is how you accustom yourself to sit in the sukkah, Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Mimecha, you have yet to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, because that is not valid. One has to have the table in the sukkah and not in the house. Now the Mishnah continues that, Nashim V'Avadim U'Ketanim B'Turim in the sukkah. Women, slaves and minors are exempt from the halachas of sukkah, which the Gemara will explain. Cotton chain that tzarach le'imoy. However, a child that does not need his mother anymore, chayv b'sukkah, is obligated to sit in the sukkah. Now, the Mishnah ends, Maisa, there was once an incident, v'yolde kalosei shel Shammai hazaken, that the daughter-in-law of Shammai the elder gave birth. U'pichas es hamaziva, he took off the plaster from the roof on top. V'sicha chagab emita, and he put schach on top of her bed. B'shvil katan, because of the minor, because of the child that was next to her. So although she was in the house, he wanted the child to be sitting in the sukkah. So he went and he took off the plaster and put on schach, so that the child should be sitting in the sukkah. Now the Gemara asks, Menahan Amili, from where do we know this halacha, that we mentioned the second halacha in the Mishnah regarding women, slaves, and minors, that a woman is going to be exempt from the halacha of sitting in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, the turn upon, like we learned in the Braisa, Ezrach. There's a pasuk that says, Kol Ezrach be Yisrael Yeshav Sukkahs. Any native in the Jewish people should be sitting in sukkahs. Now, the Gemara says that if it would say Ezrach, so that would mean Ze Ezrach, that would be a reference to the native. In other words, that would mean all the Jewish people, men and women. However, the pasuk doesn't just say Ezrach, it says Ho Ezrach, the native, which Ho always sounds like the more prominent of the two, the more important in regards to this context, which regarding to mitzvahs, Lahitzeh Anashim, that excludes women. As we know, men are mechuyev, especially when it comes to regards to mitzvah say, that men are the more obligated, and therefore Ha'ezrach is coming to exclude women. Whereas Kol, when it says Kol Ha'ezrach, Kol is inclusive, that's all, which is the Rabbis of Zikhtan, that comes to include minors, that they do have to sit in the sukkah, which the Gemara later on will ask on this brisa from our Mishnah, which says clearly that Ketanim are exempt from sitting in the sukkah. Now, the Gemara says, Amma, we learned in this brisa that we just quoted, says Ha'ezrach, that how do we know that women are exempt from sitting in the sukkah? Because it says the native. Lahitias anashim, that comes to exclude women from sitting in the sukkah. Now, so the Gemara asks, La Memra de Ezrach. So that sounds like from the Braisa that if it would have said just Ezrach without the hay, that it would have just said native, every native called Ezrach, then Bein Noshim Bein Gavri Mash. But that would sound like that men and women would be chayiv, and it's just the hay that's then adding and saying, look, it's only the native, which is exclusive, that's coming to exclude women. But if a Tanya learned the Braisa, there's a pasuk in the Yikra that says regarding the afflicting of oneself on Yom Kippur, which it says in the pasuk, Ta'anus nafshei sechem, you should afflict your soul on Yom Kippur. V'chamalocha leisasun, you shouldn't do any malocha. Ha'ezrach v'hager, the Ezrach and the convert. Now it says ha'ezrach, so the Braisa says l'rabis es hanoshim ezrachius shechayoves be'inu. That comes to include the native women of the Jewish people that they're also obligated in afflicting themselves on Yom Kippur. Now, the Gemara asks, Am Ezrach Gavri Mashma. So obviously, that without the hay, it's only with the hay that you're including women. Obviously, without the hay, that would sound like only women, and the hay is coming to include, and not to exclude. So how do we understand that? Regarding to the mitzvah of sukkah, we're saying in the first brisa that the hay is excluding women, and that Ezrach itself would have been men and women. Now, here we see the opposite by Yom Kippur, where it sounds like only that the hay is coming to include the women. But without that, it would sound like that with Ezrach would be just men. So how do we understand that contradiction? So Amar Rabba says that truthfully, these two halachas, you cannot expound them both really from the pasuk that we're sounding like we are from the two brises. Rather, because if this one has the hay coming to include women, then this one would also have the hay coming to include women. And if this one was coming to exclude women, so then this hay of the other halacha would also be coming to exclude women. Rather, Rabba says, Hilchas aninu. Really, it's their halacha l'maisha misinai by one of them, which is the opposite of that it says by the other one, which one is going to be actually saying that women are chayiv, and one of them is going to be saying that women are pater, but one of them is not going to be from the understanding of the pasuk, because as we said, the pasuk, the hay and Ezrach, what's the previous, and the hay that's coming to say differently, is either one or the other. It can't be different in each drasha. So really, one of them is going to be from the understanding, but the other one is going to be not from the understanding of the pasuk, but vast mechin rabban akroi. It's just that the rabbanan went and alluded to it in the pasuk. That is, one of them is alluded by the understanding of what the words actually sound like. But one is just an asmachta be'amal, like it's called, because actually the pasuk is a contradiction to what the actual halacha is, and it's actually coming to teach a different halacha. It's just that when we allude to the halacha, we're just using the pasuk as an allusion for it, but really, the real understanding of the pasuk and what the drasha is going to be the exact opposite of that. Now, the Gemara asks, Haikra, which one of these two halachas? We have two halachas. We have one of sukkah, and we have one of fasting, of afflicting oneself, on Yom Kippur. Now, we're saying that one of them is really the appropriate drasha, which is that the Ezrach would mean one way and the hay is coming to either include or exclude. And one's not. One is really the other way around, as it is by the other one. And it's really that we know the halacha from halacha l'mishnah misinai. We're just saying it regarding to the pasuk, but that's not really the source, and that drasha of the hay would be saying a different halacha. So the Gemara is asking, which one is really using the pasuk, which is the mashmoyis of the words that the hay is coming to teach you that halacha, behei hilchasa, and which one really is just halacha l'moshe Messina? It's not really learned out from the words of the pasuk, because as we said, the pasuk actually sounds like it's the opposite, and it's just from halacha l'moshe Messina. That's one question. V'su, moreover, the Gemara is asking even a more fundamental question. Kra lamali, hilchasa lamali. Why do I need a pasuk, which we're saying one of them is learned out from the pasuk of the hay, and why do I need the halacha l'moshe Messinai, which we're saying one's being learned out from there, but I don't need any limud, whether it be a pasuk halacha l'moshe Messinai, to tell me that a woman is putter from sukkah, or chayiv by inui, because hasukkah, mitzvah sasesh es ma'agirama, sukkah, sitting in the sukkah, is a positive time-bound commandment, which is only a positive commandment, which is by the 7 days of a year. We know from a Gemara in the beginning of the first paragraph of Sechlis Kedushin, where it explains there that any mitzvah sasesh es ma'agirama, a time-bound positive commandment, women are exempt from. So I don't need any limit, whether it be that's the one of the pasuk or that's the one of halacha l'moshe Messinai, to say that women are exempt from sitting in the sukkah. And moreover, regarding the other halacha of Yom Kippurim, which is a negative commandment, which is a punishment of karis, and we know that every mitzvah is loisaseh, any positive, any negative commandment, whether it's time-bound or not time-bound, the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin of Lamehayim Ra'af learns, Midr Rabbi Huda Marav Nafka, that we learn that women are obligated in. Dam Rabbi Huda Marav, Mechein Tandem Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Krod says a pasuk in Ben Midbar, says, Ish Ay Isha. A man or a woman, where there the pasuk concludes, ki yasu mikol chatos adam, that will do one of the sins of man, limol mal b'Hashem, to misappropriate regarding what Hashem had said, v'ashma nefesh ahi, and that person will be responsible. Now, and therefore, we continue on to Amud Beis, which we know that hish v'hakosiv isha l'ish l'chol anshe shabbat Torah, as the pasuk is saying, that it's equating women to men for all punishments in the Torah, that's saying isha isha. And therefore, we know that women are chayiv in the inu of Yom Kippur, which is a loisaseh. So the question then becomes, why, yes, they're contradictory. Ezrach, and then saying ha-ezrach, it sounds like one's including women, one's excluding women. So we had that question. We said, oh, no, it's okay. Really, one's really the drush of the pasuk, the other one's not. It's really the exact opposite halacha. We're mentioning regarding the pasuk, and actually we'll say a different drush for what that's coming to say. Now, the Gemara asks, which is which? And the second question is that we have is, why do you need any halacha or mashmois of the pasuk when we know this already? We know this from previous concepts. We know women are part of a mitzvah, such as Mount Grama, so therefore they're exempt from sukkah. And we know that women are chayiv in any loisaseh, which is fasting Yom Kippur. So on Abaye, Abaye comes to explain. He says, look, I'll explain what it is. La'olam sukkah. Truthfully, the one that is going to be women are exempt of sukkah, that's the one that's hilchasa. That's the one that's halacha l'moshe Messina. Because really, the pasuk is coming would be coming to say that women would be chayiv. And that's because ezrach would sound like that it's only men. The hay would then come to include women, and that's truthfully how we should have made the drasha, how we made the drasha in the second brisa by Yom Kippur. However, it's halacha l'moshe Messinai that women are exempt. Now, this that it says ha-ezrach, to exclude women, truthfully, that's not really true. That's just what's called a nasmach de b'yalma. We're just alluding to it in the words of the pasuk. But really, the main part of the pasuk is actually coming to include. Now, it's going to be including something else, as the Gemara later on will explain. But just like we say by Yom Kippurim, that ezrach sounds like men, and hey includes women. Truthfully, that should have been what we would be saying by sukkah. But that's not really what we're learning out from the hey. The hey will come to include something, which hey does, as we see, includes women by Yom Kippurim. But women are actually exempt by sukkah because of halacha l'moshe Messina. Now, the question then becomes, but why do I even need a halacha l'moshe Messina to say women are exempt? But as we just asked, it's a mitzvah asech as ma'agurama, which women are pata from. That Abaye explains v'itzvah. No, we needed this halacha l'moshe Messina to say that women are exempt from sukkah. Because sukkah d'ayat chemina, I would have thought to say that they would be chayiv based on the halachic principle of teishvu ke'in tedurim, which we explained on previous stuff. And there's a halacha that says that for 7 days the people should be teshu, they should dwell in sukkahs, which means ke'in to do it, just like they dwell in their homes. Which ma'ad dira ish v'ish, they just like in one's home, you don't have the men in one house and the women in another house, the person dwells with his family, with his wife, av sukkah ish v'ish, so I would think also included in the chiv of sukkah would be a man to be with his wife, Hence, there would be an obligation for the women to be sitting in the sukkah, so there should be kain to duru. K'mash b'lan, that's the chiddush that the halacha Meir Shabbazin teaches, that no, women are exempt, but we wouldn't know it from the mitzvah seseh shel zman gerama, because I would think that the pasuk would be including it based on teishu kain to duru. Another pshat, Rav Amar, he says, itzrich, the reason why we needed a halacha Meir Shabbazin to say women are exempt, even though we have it as a klal of mitzvah seseh shel zman gerama, the women are exempt, is because I would think that they're chayef. Why? So, I would have thought to say that Yolov Chamisha Asa, Chamisha Asa, Mechagamatzis, we would learn about Gzeres Shava that it says the 15th, which is the 15th of the month of Sukkot, which is the 15th of Tishrei, from the 15th, where it says the 15th of the month of Nisan by the Yom Tov of Pesach, which Mala Halon Nashim Chayav is just like over there by Pesach, that women are obligated in eating matzah. Now, Rashi explains, although eating matzah is also a mitzvah sasesh asman gerama, a positive time-bound commandment, but that says the Gemara learns in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, where the pasuk equates, it says, Leisoich lov chametz, one should not eat chametz, and it says, Shuvas yom teichu matzahs, in the same pasuk, for 7 days he should eat matzah. And therefore the Gemara learns that whoever is obligated in the negative prohibition of not eating chametz is in the positive commandment of eating matzah. Now we know women are obligated in all mitzvahs leisaseh, so therefore they're not allowed to eat chametz, and therefore they're, since they're included in not eating chametz, they're included in the positive commandment of eating matzah. So therefore, we would have thought to say, just like over there, women are obligated in the mitzvah seseh shel zman gerama, which is for that yom tov of matzah, avkan nashim chayavos. Here also, women would be obligated in the mitzvah seseh shel zman gerama of this yom tov of sukkahs, which is eating in the sukkah. K'mash malon, that's why we need the halacha Meir Shabbazin to say that no, don't make the gzeirah shava to include women in chamisha asa, chamisha asa. Rather, women are going to be exempt. Now the Gemara asks, okay, v'hashd the amrit sukkah hilchasa, then now that we finally understood how do we resolve this contradiction of Ezrach, HaEzrach, is it including women, excluding women? So they said, no. The hey of HaEzrach comes to include. And that's why it includes women in the fasting and the inner affliction of Yom Kippur. Now, however, regarding Sukkahs, we don't exclude women from the hey, because hey is including. We know it from Halacha Meir Shabbazin. But then the Gemara asks, okay, so now that we know it from Halacha Meir Shabbazin and not from the understanding of the Pasuk, because actually, as we said, the hey of the Pasuk would come to include and not exclude women, but then kralamali. So then what do we need the pasuk that it says, hey, what is the hey of HaEzrach by the Halachas of Sukkah? What is that coming to include? So now the Gemara says, l'rabbis is hager, that comes to include converts, that they're also mechuyiv to sit in the sukkah. Now, why would I think not? Gerim are mechuyiv in all mitzvahs that a regular Jew is mechuyiv in. So sukkah, t'adachamina, I would have thought to say, the pasuk says in Vayikra, HaEzrach be Yisrael, the native of the Jewish people, Amrachmana. The Torah is telling it that it should be from the Jewish people. V'lo yisagerim, and not from the converts. K'mash malan, that's what HaEzrach comes to include, that not just a native of the Jewish people, but even someone that just came to the Jewish people, is also mechuyiv sitting in the sukkah. Now, however, the Gemara still asks, so we resolved the understanding of HaEzrach regarding the halachas of sukkah, where again, it's not talking about women. Women are exempt from halacha Meir Shabbazin, and we gave two reasons why you need to exempt them, even though we know it's a seseh shel gerama. And the hey of HaEzrach is coming to include gerim. But now the Gemara asks regarding the other halacha. Yom Kippurim, Medei Abihuda Merav Nafka, as we asked, why do we need a pasuk of the hey of HaEzrach to include women? For the inui, for the affliction of Yom Kippurim, if we know that this is a mitzvah lo yisaseh, this is a negative prohibition of eating, afflicting, doing something that would be undoing the affliction of Yom Kippurim, which is a chiv of karas, and we know that women are mechuyev even all mitzvahs lo yisaseh, so why do I need a special limit of HaEzrach to include women? So the Gemara says, lo yinitzricha, that this that we needed to include women, which you're right, we know women are mechuyev even inui, because they're the regular lo yisaseh. We needed only Ella Tesefis Inui for adding on to the affliction, which the Pasuk requires, as the Gemara darshans elsewhere, that you have to actually start the Inui. You have to start the fast of Yom Kippurim when it's still day every Yom Kippurim, a little bit before it becomes dark. Now, I would have thought to say, since the Torah minimizes and diminishes the Tesefis Inui Me'oinish, the halacha of Tesefis Inui, of adding on to the fast of Yom Kippurim, that it's not the same as the regular affliction on Yom Kippurim itself, because there is no punishment. And that is, when the Pasuk says regarding the Inui on Vayikra Chav Gimel, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Azeh, in the essence of this day, which it sounds like on the Etzem, on the actual day of Yom Kippurim, then there's going to be a punishment of Karas if one violates this affliction. But there is no Karas regarding the Tosefos Inui, although there's a mitzvah of adding on before the night of Yom Kippurim, but one does not get the punishment. Umi Asara, and it's even excluded from the negative prohibition of transgressing that affliction, as the Gemara learns in the last parak of Maseches Yuma. So therefore, I would have thought Loi Nischai B'Noshem Klal, that women would not be obligated at all in the halacha of Tosefos Inui, because essentially all it is a mitzvah saseh of adding on to the affliction, which women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Kamash Mulan, that is the chiddush, that we needed the drush of ha ezrach, the extra hay, to include women too, that although generally we would say that since there's no einish and there's no azhara, that women would not be mechuyev, that's what we had to say. But you're right, regular gardening, the regular inu, we knew that the mechuyev in olois essays, but we're coming to include them even in the halacha of tesefes inu. Now the Gemara goes back to the brice that we mentioned on Amud Aleph, Amamar. We said kol, that when it says kol ha ezrach, that they have to sit in sukkahs, was l'rabbis zekatana. The word kol, which is inclusive, all is coming to include minors that the mechuyev in sukkah. So the Gemara asked, but now we learn in our Mishnah, noshim avadim uketanim peturim in our sukkah. Women, slaves, and minors are exempt from the sukkah. How does the Braisa say that you're mechuyev? So then the Gemara says, loikash. It's not a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Because Khan, the Braisa is talking about, bekotin shegilachinach, a minor that reached the halacha, the age of being trained to do mitzvahs, which was from an age when he doesn't need his mother anymore. Then he's mechuyev in the mitzvah of sukkah. Khan, our Mishnah is talking about, by a minor that didn't reach the age of chinuch yet, still needs his mother. Therefore, there's not even the chiv from the halacha of chinuch, and that's why the katan would be exempt from the chiv of sukkah. Now the Gemara asks, how can you say that? The halacha of requiring a katan that reached chinuch age is only rabbinically. There's no biblical commandment on the child to have to go into the sukkah until he reaches age 13. So, but the Braisa said that you know it from the word, term of kol, which sounds like it's a drasha minatayra. So how can we say that it's talking about a katan regarding the halachas of chinuch, if chinuch is rabbinic and kol sounds like a drasha minatayra? So the Gemara answer is midrabbana. No, truthfully, the halacha is only rabbinically, as we said, it's only the halacha of chinuch, and that's the age that the Braisa is talking about. The cross, machta bi'amhu, the pasuk that we're utilizing of kol, actually was only an allusion to this halacha, but the actual term of kol is coming to teach us a different halacha, as Rashi explains. The pasuk of kol ha'ezrach, either according to Rabbi Eliezer, is coming to teach the way he said, that it's coming to include a convert that converted in the days of Chol HaMoed of Sukkot, or a minor that became an adult, where he's allowed to make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, which does not apply to a regular Jew, which Rabbi Eliezer holds, it has to be a sukkah that you made for all 7 days. Or according to Rabbanan, the way they hold that all Jewish people are could sit in one sukkah, that's Kol HaEzrach, Yeshu B'Sukkahs, and what that's coming to teach is that you could even utilize a borrowed sukkah, because not everyone could have a share in one sukkah. That's really what's being learned from Kol HaEzrach. And although the Braisa says that Kol HaEzrach is coming to include minors, that's only what's called Nasmach, an allusion to that. Really, it's not the Braisa, it's only rabbinic. Now the Mishnah said, Katan Shein Tzarech L'Imai, that a minor that doesn't need his mother is mechuyev in a sukkah. Now, the Gemara asks, Heichid Dami Katan Shein Tzarech L'Imai, who is this child? What is this age bracket of a minor that doesn't need his mother, which is, as we explained, is the chiyuv of chinuch, that then he is mechuyev to sit in the sukkah. So Amar Debei Rabbi Yanai, so he said in the yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, kol shenifna, any child that defecates, that goes to the bathroom, ve'ein imen mekan chasa, and his mother doesn't have to wipe him, that's a child that's already old enough, that doesn't need his mother, and is ready mechuyev to sit in the sukkah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says, kol shenei mishnasa, it's any child that gets up from his sleep, ve'ein akari imen, he doesn't call out mommy. That means he's not so attached to his mother to call her every time when he wakes up. That's already, doesn't need his mother. That's already mechuyev in chinuch and sukkah. Now the Gemara asks on that, ima, calling out mommy, gedolim namikar, even bigger kids call out mommy. In other words, you're saying that what is the criteria of in tzarech l'imai? It's someone that doesn't call out mommy. But it sounds like what if he calls out mommy, so then you're considering him a child that needs his mother. But even a bigger kid, when he wakes up, even if he doesn't need his mother, he still calls out mommy when he wakes up. So rather, the Gemara says el'ema, rather say kol shenayir ve'enakare ima ima. It means to say a child that gets up and doesn't call out mommy, mommy. In other words, he's not so attached to her that he repeats and repeats and repeats until his mommy comes. But if he says one time mommy and then is quiet, then that's considered he doesn't need his mother anymore, although he'll say one time, but he won't keep on repeating until the mommy comes. That's already considered in the tzarech l'imoy, and that's already considered mechuyev in halacha of chinuch to sit in the sukkah. Now, the Mishnah concluded by saying that Maisa, there was an incident, that the daughter-in-law of Shammai had a child, and he went and took off the plaster and made schach over her head, where she was, so that the child could be able to have schach to be sitting in the sukkah. So the Gemara asks, Maisa Lister? The Mishnah ends off concluding a story that contradicts what it just said. The Mishnah said the criteria of saying that when is a child mechuyev in the sukkah, that's when he doesn't need his mother anymore. Now, therefore, this child obviously was with the mother because it needed the mother. So why did he go ahead and take off the plaster and put schach over it if whoever's with the mother needs the mother and should rightfully be there, doesn't have to sit in the sukkah? So now the Gemara says, Chesuri Mechster of Hachitani. There are words missing, and this is what the Mishnah should be saying. B'shamei Machmer, however, Shamei was stringent. U'maisenami, and that's exactly what the story was, that B'yolde Kalosei Shal Shamei Hazaken, that the daughter-in-law of Shamei the elder gave birth, and she had whoever needed the mommy was with the mommy. All the bigger kids were in the sukkah. Upiches es amaziva, and he took off the plaster v'sichach al amita b'shvil hakatan, and he put schach over her bed because of the child. And that is, although it was a katan atzarch li'imai, Shammai was machmir, and he held that all children should be in the sukkah, and therefore, even though it was someone that needed the mother, that's what the story is coming to illustrate, that he held still that such a child should be in the sukkah. Now the Gemara continues again on the obligation, how a person should fulfill his chiyuv of sitting in the sukkah, the 7 days of sukkahs. So the Mishnah tells us, Kol shivas hayamim, all the 7 days of sukkahs, Adam oises sukkas ekva, he makes his sukkah permanent. Now what that means is, that means that that should be his primary residence. Ubeis aroi, and his house should be temporary. That's not his main residence. Now he lives in the sukkah. Now however, the Mishnah asks, Yarduk sham, however, if rain starts coming down, when is one allowed to take leave and move out of the sukkah? Because although that's his primary residence, but when it's raining, it's going to be very inconvenient. So that the Mishnah says, Mishatisrach ha-mikvah. When the mikpah, when this porridge gets ruined. Now, any type of like jello-y type of substance of a cooked dish where it's not too liquidy or not too thick, that's called mikpah. So something of that consistency, which it's going to get ruined from the rain, that's already considered enough rain that a person's in that much pain he could leave his sukkah. Now, regarding when it does rain on sukkah, on sukkahs, the Mishnah tells us, Mashle mashle mahadabadayma. They gave a parable to describe this idea that when it rains on sukkahs, it's a sign of klala, of a curse, that it's raining on sukkahs. And that could be compared to le'evet shabal limzei kais l'rabbi, to a servant that's coming to pour a cup for his master, b'shavach le'kitin, and he spills the pitcher of water alpanav on his face. Now the Gemara will explain who's pouring on who. Is it that the servant is clumsy and he didn't do appropriate service for his master? When he's pouring it, he spills it on the master's face? Or is it that when he's coming to pour, the master takes the pitcher and pours it on his face, saying, I don't need what you're giving me? Now the Gemara explains this halacha of our Mishnah. Turn upon the Braisa. Kol shivas hayamim, all the 7 days of sukkahs, Adam oises sukkas ekva ubeis aroi. He makes his sukkah the permanent residence, his primary residence, and his house is the secondary. Ketzad, how so? Hayu loy kelim nom, if let's say he had beautiful vessels, so mal la sukkah, he brings it into the sukkah. Matzois noy, so he had beautiful bedspreads, so mal la sukkah, he brings it into the sukkah. Oichel v'shaistu metayel basukkah, he eats, he drinks, he spends his time in the sukkah. So the Gemara is mananimili. Where do we know this from, that should be that a person should have this as his primary residence? The Tamban, like we learned the Braisa, says in the Pasuk Teishvu, that it says the Pasuk of Yikra that Basukah is Teishvu Shivas Yam, that if someone should dwell in the Sukkah 7 days. So Teishvu sounds like ain't to do it just like you dwell in your house. This should be your new residence. So Mikan Amr from here is, as we said, that Kol Shivas Hayamim, all 7 days, Isa Adam Sukkah Sekva Besaroi, he makes his Sukkah the permanent, and he makes his house temporary. Ketza, how so? As we said, Chayil Kelim Noim, if he had beautiful utensils and vessels, Mount the Sukkah, he brings it into the Sukkah. Matzois Nois, if he had beautiful linen, Mount the Sukkah, he brings it into the Sukkah. Eichel B'Sheisim Tehav Sukkah, he eats, he drinks, he spends his time, he strolls around in his Sukkah. U'mishan B'Sukkah, and he even learns in the Sukkah. Now, the Gemara thinks that what it means is that all types of learning he should be learning in the Sukkah, even when he's trying to fully understand like what's called the teachings of the Amiram, which what we call in common parlance is the Gemara, which is the understanding and the deciphering of the reasoning of the Mishnayos and the Braises. What's the reason here it's liable? What's the reason why here it's exempt? That this is forbidden, that this is permitted. That even that, everything is done in the Sukkah. It's your primary residence. Now the Gemara asks on the Ini, is that really so? That learning also has to be done in the Sukkah. But Amar Rava, but Rava said, he said, Mikra, when you're learning Chumash or Torah Shavik Sav, so then, or Masna, or you're learning Mishnayis, which are a custom which people know very well, the words of the Mishnayis. That's been Talalta, that's done in the Sukkah. However, Vitanoi, however, the learning of Shas, which is logic, which you have to grind down and to break down the understandings and the principles, which are these teachings of the Amiram, which only come by being precise and learning out the words of the Mishnayis and comparing different words one to the other, that's Bar Mitzvalta. That's done, if you want, you can learn that out of the Sukkah, because that would be inclusive of the category of Mitzvah, which you would be in pain learning that in the Sukkah, and a mitzvah is part of from the Sukkah, because the ear, the elements of the environment is good for a person to be able to expand his thought process, and to do that in the Sukkah, it doesn't have that clarity of thought of even of intense focus and concentration. Now the Gemara thinks that when it says that what Rabbi said, Tanui, meant this same term that the Brisa is talking about of Mishanin, which would mean to have intense focus in the learning, that all this are the same, which is doing out of the Sukkah. And that the Gemara answers, no, loikash, it's not a difficulty, because actually there's two types of shinun, two types of learning, and depending which one it is, it would have to be either in the Sukkah or it could be even out of the Sukkah. That is, ha, when the Brisa was talking about learning that has to be in the Sukkah, that was b'migras. That was by Gemara, which is already clear to somebody, and that's what's called Shmaitza, that's what's called Mishanin, that needs a Sukkah. He knows the Gemara, he's learning it quick, he's done this Gemara before. That is something that doesn't require such intense focus and concentration. That can be and has to be in the Sukkah. Ha, however, Rava was talking about Bi'iyuni, which is focused concentration of deciphering and breaking down and comparing different things of Gemara, that could be out of the Sukkah. As the Gemara continues at the top of Chavtes and Aleph, Kiha, as we find that regarding Shmaitza, different learnings of Gemara, that there is types of Gemara when you can be learning quickly without any difficulty, without any exertion, which that's called Migras, and that, as we said, has to be in the Sukkah. And then there's a type of learning of Gemara, which is Iyun, which is in strict focus, which requires a lot of exertion, that could be, as we said, out of the Sukkah. That's what Rav had said. As we find, the Rava, the Girsa says, the Rava v'Rami Barchama, as they, when they would get up from the Shir of Chizda, after they learned the Shemaitza, the teaching that he taught them, so Mirati b'Gemara, first they would run through in the Gemara, which means to say what they heard from him, they would then repeat it quickly, that this thing is forbidden, this thing is permitted. B'Hadi Adodi, they did that together. The Hadir Ma'ayni B'Svara, and then they would look into it with logic to say, wait a second, what's the understanding of this? That is there anything to say not like that? And they would go through that thing. That's what's called Iyun. That's what Rav was saying. That can be done out of the Sukkah, because or else to do it in the Sukkah would be considered Mitzvah. Maybe it's more comfortable in the Beis Medrash. It would be different. You could be Marachav Daitoy. However, when the Brisa said that even learning has to be in the Sukkah, that was talking about going quickly, running through the Sukkah, which doesn't require such intense focus. That's something that could and should be done in the Sukkah, which is to fulfill the Schiyav of Teishu Kain to do whatever you normally do in your primary residence. That's exactly what should be done in the Sukkah, which includes eating, drinking, and learning too.